Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. This week we have Reza Mashahekhi, and he's going to talk about his book, From Iran to America, Manez and Shirin, A Love Story. Welcome, Reza.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
I'm really happy to have you here. Please tell the audience a bit about yourself and your background.
Okay. Hello, everybody. By profession, I'm an engineer, but I'm retired. Alongside engineering, I have taught English to mainly foreign students. And a few years ago, I retired and I started writing. And this is the book that we're talking about is my second book. And other than that, I'm open to questions.
Oh, all right. Can you basically, we just want to find out more about you. Where did you get your writing skills? Were you always interested in writing?
Well, I did some writing because of my work. Because I'm an engineer, I had to write instructions and things, you know, and. Based on the kind of thing that I was talking about, sometimes it required instructions on doing certain things, so it was lengthy writing, and I had to be clear. And I've also been very interested in the English language itself. So aside from my required skills, I looked into it further, and I started on my own, so that kind of helped. But about 6-7 years ago, I started thinking about writing more seriously, you know. At first, I wasn't sure I could do it, but then gradually I gained some confidence in myself, and finally I started professionally.
Cool. Are you a big reader? Does reading a book spark your imagination? And do you have any favorite authors?
Oh yes, I read quite a lot. I read more now that I'm into it myself. And you write yourself when you read something from by somebody else. Everybody has his own approach to things, you know. So when I read something by someone else, I kind of try to see what they're saying, and then try to apply my own approach to what they're saying, and see the things that they write about through my own eyes. You know, so that gives me ideas that sometimes I use in my own writing later on.
What draws you into a book more? Is it when they can paint a beautiful picture, or is it history, or is it the dialogue?
Well, it's probably a combination of all of them, you know. The dialogue is very important. You read something that someone is saying, and you kind of try to, maybe you don't even try, but you think of what the next thing is going to be, and then it's going to be different from what you were thinking, you know. And that's how I look at it. I try to see what the outcome is going to be of a certain dialogue, certain conversation. And when that happens, it's okay. But if it doesn't happen the way I expected it, then I start thinking, hey, it would have been nice if it was done this way, or if it was me, I would have done it a different way. You know, that kind of thing. The dialogue is important. Pictures and things are helpful, especially if you see pictures, images in a book or something, and it makes you see relate better to what the author had in mind. So sometimes
I was actually thinking I was actually thinking more of, you know how an author can paint a picture with words? That's more, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the pictures in the book. I'm more talking about, you know, you're reading and they're talking
yes.
about a landscape and you kind of see
yes.
it visually in your
yes,
head.
Yes, that's right. And I do that. I pay a lot of attention to details. And some of the people who comment about my my writing, they do tell me that, you know, we could see what was happening from the way you explained it. So I go into detail. I'm very detail-oriented, sometimes probably too much. But I do that, and I see that it helps some people.
Do you have any favorite authors?
Well, there are so many of them. There are so many of them. I like Ernest Hemingway. I read a lot of his writings when I was at school, going at the university. My major is not English, but I did read, and I read a lot of articles in papers and things. Unfortunately, I don't remember the names. Another couple of books I read by James Joyce that really interested me, and for a long time I wanted to go to Ireland because of the way he had explained everything, you know. So
yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, and then when you go to the country, it's kind of weird. I remember I've always been a big fan of English literature, and so when I went to England, I was kind of nervous because I wasn't sure if it was going to be like my picture, but it turned out to be better because one thing about English culture is they modernize, but they keep their history, unlike us,
yeah.
and so I got what I wanted, but it is something that authors paint a picture and you go, wow, I want to see that.
yes, that's very true. That's very true, especially when I read James Joyce's book. If I had money at the time, I would have gone to Dublin right away. So, traveling, I like traveling because it really opens your mind if you let it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people resist that, but if you let it, it will open your mind. You know, I've been to many countries, and it's so beautiful. I wish I could just spend my time traveling. It's so interesting. Unfortunately,
yeah.
It's not very possible.
And it's not easy anymore. It used to be much easier
no.
when I was younger. I could. It was. It not just expense wise. Just. I mean. It's so hard nowadays with the plane, and you have to worry about, you know, how long ahead do you have to be at the airport and all this stuff. And
yeah.
You never had to worry about that before.
You have to take off your shoes.
Yeah, I know. And girls get felt up.
Yeah. But fortunately,
yeah, the world's changed.
Fortunately, we have the internet now. You know,
mm-hmm.
You're learning so many things from the internet, if you're looking at a reliable site, of course.
Of course.
But you're learning so many things that when I was a kid, all we had was just the few animals in the books, the few countries that they talked about in the books, and things like that. But now, with the click of a button, you can find out what's going on in Madagascar, you know, and what happened in Brazil yesterday, you know. Or 10 minutes ago, for that matter.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting.
Remember when you had to look stuff up in the encyclopedia?
Exactly. Exactly.
<For college.
laughs> Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, for both my brother and myself, we had the Britannia, the big, huge one,
mm-hmm.
like 100 things of it, edition.
Yes.
Well, not editions, but sections of it. And
right.
You're like, okay, let's see. I need to look up Rome. Okay, here's R.
Boy.
Now you want to look up ancient Rome? Click.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I can look at where I was living, you know, before I left Iran. By the way, I'm from Iran, you know, the title of the book says that. But I look at Google Maps, you know, and I look at the house on the street. It's amazing.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's amazing what they do now. It's just the map scoping and all that.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can do great research.
Yes. Actually, there's just, I think there's too much information sometimes.
you get overwhelmed.
You know?
Yeah,
you get
true.
Overwhelmed. But if you can manage your time wisely, things are so much better now, I guess, from that point of view. From
yeah.
many other points of view, I don't like what's happening.
Yeah, so. I know. Yeah, I know. Well, there's good and bad in everything.
Exactly.
And there always has been.
So.
So it's just more accessible.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Can you give us a taste of your book? And what would you like the readers to take away from the experience of reading it? I know it's a love story.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I've done is some of the things that I have personally witnessed and some of the things that have actually happened to me and the other things that happened to others and I either witness or I know about it, and I put all of these things together and wrote about it, and it sounds like a memoir, you know. It's not. It's not a... Parts of it are, you know. But it's not a memoir. The idea is I've used those things, put together, and then talked about some historical things also. All together with the idea of introducing to the reader something about Iran, the culture in Iran, and the Middle East, specifically, more specifically Iran, but a lot of things that I say there apply to the other countries in the Middle East also.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the reader who's interested, this gives them a window into what's happening there, how people think, how people react, how they are brought up, and things like that, and compare it to what's happening in the West. It's not saying that it's good over there or bad over there, or good over here and or bad over here. It's just a comparison of what I've seen and the general idea that the reader is supposed to get from this book, which I hope, is that there's actually more similarities between people than differences. You know, we are more similar than we are different. And that's what I hope the reader will get, will take away from the, will take from the book. My, personally, I'm very much interested in having good communication with people, and I believe that if there is good communication, there won't be so many problems in the world. You know, a lot of things could be handled. And this book is in a way working to achieve that, to show that communication is the key in many cases. And in my other book, I have another book before this, which is called English Idioms and Expressions. You know, there too, I specify, I stress on the importance of communication. If people understand each other, you know, a lot of these problems won't happen. And I hope that's what the reader will, you know, take from my book.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's educating without banging a person on the top of the head with it. That's
exactly.
The best way to educate people.
Exactly. I've one of the things I did in my other book, the Idioms and Expressions, is not only the whole book is about English idioms and expressions and trying to explain that each one and the origin of some of them. But what I did also was that I put some expressions from other countries and then put them together and show that some of these expressions in different countries are so similar. It's even though they were developed through the centuries, thousands of miles away from each other in different cultures, but it's almost like the same person wrote them, So that's
people
another thing I stress on. Exactly.
People are people. Exactly. Nobody, exactly. We might have different cultures and beliefs and all that stuff, but when you strip it away, everybody's the same.
Yes. So that's, even my in my next book, I'm, stressing a lot on the similarities between cultures.
What book are you working on now?
Well, right now I'm working on a fictional character. I'm writing a fiction. It's a novel. It's about a little girl. She's Iranian. Surprise there. She's an Iranian girl in an Iranian family who are living in America. And she happens to see, she's about like maybe 9-10 years old, and she happens to see a Dracula movie, a horror movie where Dracula is there, and her brother teases her, and she ends up believing that Dracula is real and is after her, So that's what the book is about.
Sounds cute.
So.
When you completed your first one, English Idioms, what was it like to get the actual book when you got it from the publisher and you opened up the box and you picked up one of your books and you felt it in your hand? Was it like the greatest gift, like biggest birthday present you ever got?
Well, the thing is, I had sent this away. It was my first book ever, and I had always looked at my hand notes and things like that. And then I suddenly get this book that's done very professionally, and I look at it, and I know that I've done the cover and everything seemed similar to what I had submitted to them. But when it came in the mail and I opened it, I said, "Hey, this couldn't be mine. it looks too good, But it was mine, and I felt good about it. But getting there was difficult.
There
was very difficult.
Where do you find it? Where was it harder, getting published or publicizing it?
Well, the fact is, I had thought about that book for a long time, because I was teaching English to foreigners, and before that, I was learning English as a foreigner myself, so a lot of expressions didn't make sense to me when I heard them. And a very interesting one was when I have it on the back of my book, when I was having my first summer job, my boss gave me a report, and he says, "Burn me 3 copies of this, and I want it by 2:00. So I was really confused because I really thought he wanted me to burn the copies.
I can see that. Absolutely.
So,
that's true.
So he gives this to me. He says, "Burn 3 copies of this and give it to me on by 2:00 or something like that, And then he leaves. And there I'm standing thinking, why doesn't he want me to burn the copies And why does he want me to make 3 copies and burn them? And why does he want the ashes? You know, these... why 3 copies? One would create enough ashes, you know. So that's the kind of thing that went through my mind many times as I was learning English. And then I found out that other people had difficulties. And so for many years, I was thinking of putting these things together. And then finally, about maybe 6-7 years ago, I decided to do something about it and write a book because I had gathered enough of them. So I did that, and then I approached some publishers to publish it for me, and they wouldn't even talk to me because
I've never been published.
Not only that, I had difficulty talking to them because they kept saying, you have to contact us through an agent, and no agent wanted to talk to me. And all the agents had these P.O. Box addresses, and
they wouldn't talk to you unless you've been published before.
So I gave up on it. Yeah. So I gave up on doing that. And then several years later, like maybe 3 or 4 years later, I happened to read an article by this guy, Dan Poynter, about self-publishing, you know. And so I read about it, then I got more interested in the project again and found out that I could do it myself, you know. And so I used his instructions. I got his book, used his instructions, and self-published it. So if it wasn't so for, you know, the advance of technology that makes self-publishing digitally possible and practical, I would never have done it, you know. And so that's how I did it. But the thing is that what I realize now is that even though that was difficult and it took years, that was the easy part. The difficult part now is marketing it, you know, because nobody knows about the book. You know, very few people know, and unless you're a famous person or, you know, a famous person, you can't advertise because it's so expensive, and so nobody will know about it. So it's like people like myself and you and, you know, setting up phone interviews, blog talk radio, that kind of thing, you know, and help each other so that gradually the word gets out. But marketing is the biggest problem, really.
It is.
To
it's
me.
It's very hard. And, you know, even if you get traditionally published by a small house, you have to do your own marketing. In fact, some of the medium houses that I've talked to, the authors, they have to do their own marketing.
Yes.
Just because you get traditionally published doesn't save you from the hazards of having to try to find a way to get the word out about your book.
Right, right. Actually,
so it's a problem for all of us.
Yes, I've had so much problem. I've had so much problem, so many problems with my marketing,
mm-hmm.
That I am right now. I'm looking into creating some kind of network, you know, where authors and book fairs could get together and things like that. I'm working out the details, and I'm hoping to get somewhere there, you know.
We talked about that. I think it's a great idea.
But this is ridiculous because I want to spend my time writing, you know.
Right.
But it turns out that most of my time is being spent marketing, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I know. It's like a two-edged sword. You have to get the word out, but at the same time, you have that writing demon that you want to keep writing. So.
Yeah, you want to keep
one
writing.
Or the other. Yeah. You have to balance it. You have to balance it.
Yeah, yes. I hope to do this network. I hope to finalize it within the next 5 or 6 months. I'm working on the details, and if if you don't mind, I want to tell the listeners my web address, and when it comes up, my plans are ready to be implemented, I will announce it there, you know, on my website. And the website is called ReizaMashayeki.com. It's one word, ReizaMashayeki.com, and I will announce it there. But if I do that, if it works the way I have it in mind, then authors will have a better time. I mean, authors like us. You know, I don't mean, you know, big
Dan
time
Brown.
Authors. Yes, we'll have an easier time. Yes, we'll have an easier time, and they can get to their writing. You know.
Yep. We don't have a lot of time left. Do you have any events coming up you want to let everybody know about?
Well, no, I don't have any event because, again, it goes back to marketing. I'm not good in that department, so there's no events planned on, you know, for my books, except that I'm going to be just announcing different things on my Facebook page, but nothing big, no.
Do you have, like, a Facebook event that's coming up that you'd like to let people know about?
Well, no, not really. I haven't planned anything because I'm spending my time on this other thing. All I can say is that I'm working on my new book, which I hope to turn into a movie also, and this marketing thing. Other than that, I just keep writing and look at Facebook.
Well, both of those goals are very exciting. You should be really proud of yourself.
Thank you.
So you're welcome. We've come to the end. I want to thank you for a wonderful interview. Thank you very much, Reza.
I want to thank you for your, you know, for your having me.
Oh, you're very welcome.
All right.
I like to let my audience know that next week we will have author Kane Gilmore, and he will chat about, he has many books, but two of them are Refuge and The Crypt of Dracula. Thank you, Reza, for being on Chatting with Sherry.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
And thank you for chatting with Sherry.